Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue here our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, having the word ecclesia in the Greek, deriving the name from the Septuagint, which was the translation of this book into Greek from the Hebrew, about the 3rd century B.C., somewhere between 200 to 300 years before the Messiah, or before the Common Era, whichever way you want to have it. This old teaching dies hard, does it not, before the Messiah? But yeah, so you have several hundred years B.C., 200 to 300 years B.C., the Old Testament translated into Greek. So we get the title Ecclesiastes, and that's what it means. That's the same root word for ecclesia, which is translated church in the New Testament in the King James, authorized King James Version there. So a little more understanding. He calls himself the preacher, and this is the preacher speaking to the called out ones. That's what we have. So we see that the ecclesia, Greek, church, the true people, or Yahudi, for it to use another word, which means the people of him, called by his name. So whenever you see that term, the people called by my name, think Yahudi, because those are the people called by his name. You know, it's like you hear people called by the names of men. You have, I can't think of any of those names, but they'll say something like, what could I think? Lutherans. There you go, Lutherans, people who are called by the name of Luther. And there's plenty of examples out there, just because my brain doesn't work that well, and I can't call up a dozen for you. I'm sure you could think of a few. But people that are called by the name of someone else. So, for instance, many people were called by the name of their father, and they would be called Joseph's son or something like that, or Michelson. You know, which means, or Ben, whatever, because Ben meant son in the Hebrew. So if we're called by his name, then we are Yahudi, the people called by his name. That's literally what it means. We'll continue here. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such that were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power. See, power corrupts, and power, people have power to oppress other power people. Like, I'm being oppressed right now, I have to admit it. These people are using the power of the courts and their ability to manipulate the courts to oppress me right now. So I saw power on the side of the oppressors. There was power, and they have power to do evil, because the Almighty gives you power to do evil. That's right. You have the capacity to do evil. You have capacity to do evil against other people, to usurp authority. And so they use that power, whatever power they can, to oppress other people. And he says they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressors, there was power. They used the power to oppress, but they had no comforter. Wherefore, I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than they both, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Well, a very negative expression here. You know, it's better not to be alive, better to be dead than to be oppressed or to be the oppressor that has no remedy or no comfort. Absolutely true. But I have comfort in my oppression. And I see that my oppressors have no comfort at all because they're practicing evil. They're using power, the power that they have, to practice evil and to oppress others. And since the commandment says to me that not to repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. So I can't use what power or the same power they're using against me, against them. But my comfort is obedience to the Almighty and practicing good and the treasures that I'm storing up in heaven, and realizing that I'm in the courtroom already, and the court is set, and there is a multitude of angels watching what's going on, and everything is being recorded in that record in heaven. But for those that are being oppressed and have no comforter, and those that are doing the oppressing that have no comforter, he's saying it's better to be dead, or better to not have been born. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, and more than the living, which are not yet alive. Yea, better is he than they, both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I considered all the travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. And that's why men want to steal or use power against other men, to steal their labor, because they envy their neighbor and they want more. So this is vanity, vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Ooh. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. It's nice to have comfort, even when you're going through oppression. Otherwise, all you have is your hands full of travail and vexation of spirit. I can't allow them to vex my spirit. I feel it. You know, I still feel those things. I feel the vexation, but by faith, I put it off, and I look beyond it. It's present. It's there, but somehow I'm above it. I can feel it in my flesh, and sometimes it causes me anguish, but somehow I find myself rising above it because I have comfort. He sends his comforter to take me through everything. And that's the example we have in the scriptures of all the prophets and all the martyrs of Yahshua, Jesus, all those that were martyred for their faith, all the prophets that were martyred. They were comforted with something that carried them through that. Stephen, as he was being stoned, he rose above it somehow. I'm sure he felt that anguish and that pain for a moment, but somehow he was taken and he was carried above it. And I expect if someday I'm martyred, it could happen. I see what's coming. The mark of the beast system is rising up. The technocracy is here. All the players have taken their place, the first beast, the second beast, and it's developing before my very eyes. I know it's coming, and I know I've done my study in the calendar. What year is it? The booklet is there. It's published on my website at crosstheborder.org for everyone to see, and I know that it's all coming, and it will all close within at least the next generation, if not this one. 60 years I see on the outside, few less than that on the inside, so I could live to see it, maybe, maybe not, to see the seventh millennium dawn in my mortal existence here. I may and I may not. I think I would be blessed to somehow live through all that's coming, you know, the final long great inquisition of, and I have a feeling that the final inquisition and the reign of the mark of the beast in its full reign is going to be about 40 years. I just have that feeling because I see that period of 40 years somehow keeps popping up there. So, and that was what, you know, the Messiah gave Israel after he separated them, after he divorced them, because he did divorce them. He divorced an adulterous wife. But he gave them 40 years as a nation before the final destruction came to the nation in its fullness. And the Temple Mount and Jerusalem and everything was destroyed. 40 years from the time that he gave up the ghost on the cross and he said, "It is finished," and the temple and the veil was rent from top to bottom. That was about 28, 29 of the Common Era, and about 69, 70 of the same Common Era calendar, 40 years later. Isn't that 40 years later? Yep, that's it, 40 years later. The final destruction came like a flood, just as foretold by Daniel the prophet and the Messiah. So I'm thinking it's going to be about 40 years that the full sway. So, you know, we have perhaps 10 to 20 years left before the fullness of the Mark of the Beast system comes in. But I also believe, and here we are, I pray, the Heavenly Father, let your spirit of prophecy be upon me, Father, if I speak, that we're in for, you know, those of us that live in the land of the second beast and the whole world, except for places here and there that are going to be safe places. And I hope I'm in one of those. I want to be led by a spirit so that if I'm not in one, that I will be led to one of those safe places, or that he will keep me safe wherever I am, because I would like to endure it. But I see a great travail coming upon the earth. You know, a third world war. I see the sword and famine coming to the land where I live. And I see great destruction coming. And I'm not the only one, so I'm not alone out here. You see that his prophets are speaking it. And a lot of them don't understand who the beasts are. The second beast and the first beast identify. America is the second beast. Rome is the first beast. Because those beasts work together. The second beast exercises all the powers of the first beast before it. Hasn't America done that? Exercise all the power of Rome, being the superpower? You think there's a coincidence there that we use the term superpower, the world's superpower, because it exercises all the power of the Roman Empire before it? And then it gives its power to the first beast, and it causes everyone to worship the image of the first beast? Which it made? Didn't America make a worldwide governing body in the image of Rome called the United Nations? So we've identified them. America is the second beast. Rome is the first beast. And the image is the United Nations. And Satan's monetary system, the Mark of the Beast monetary system, first trial run, the Federal Reserve in America. And now everybody's learning, well, the Federal Reserve isn't federal, and it isn't American, and it has no reserves. Why, it's owned by a foreign banking cartel. How did that happen? Yeah, that was the trial run. Now they're destroying that, and they're going to build on the disasters and the things that are coming in the next 10 to 20 years. They're going to perfect Satan's monetary system. And it's going to be the Mark of the Beast, because they have the technology now to employ it. So out of the disaster and the financial crisis that we're going through right now, which is just beginning. Go back and do your little study on the Depression, the Great Depression in America. It went on for many years, and people were brought way low. And everybody had to turn to the image of the beast for relief. And it was all by design. And it's all by design now. And the Mark of the Beast monetary system is coming. Through all the travail of the financial crisis and the wars and the famines and the sword to come in the next 10 to 20 years, they're going to establish their final Mark of the Beast monetary systems. And yes, people will be executed who will not participate in the new social order. And those will be the elect, who will finally, most of them are still living in a delusion right now, but finally their eyes will be open, and they will forfeit their lives at that time. And those of us that have our eyes open now and can prepare and are being led by the Spirit, because his people are going to live through that time. It's not a 7-year tribulation rapture where you're going to be raptured out pre, mid, or whatever trib, because there is no 7-year tribulation. That's all Counter-Reformation, the eschatology that they've done to break you down and to do away with the resurrection of the dead. The great hope of all the elect is the resurrection of the dead. And they're just tearing it down step by step, and over a 7-year period, they hope to totally obliterate it. Because when they start their seven-year tribulation period by kicking off the rebuilding of the temple, nobody's going to be raptured. 3.5 years later, they're going to say, well, it must be mid-trib. And then when the 3.5 years, 4 years passes by and everybody's going to look around, they're going to say, well, it wasn't mid-trib, it must be post-trib. So they've already torn it down with two steps. So nobody's going to be surprised after the seven-year tribulation period of the false prophecy when nobody's raptured out. And they're going to say, well, gee, you know, you guys misunderstood. Haven't you learned by now that there is no rapture? See, they've changed the resurrection of the dead into a rapture. And they're going to let you down slowly so that everyone will accept it at the end and accept the Antichrist because they put on a play and vanquish the false Antichrist. This is what's coming, people. This is what the Bible, this is what the book foretells. And this is what their false prophecy foretells. And so people are going to go, oh, okay, well, that must be right. And they're going to give up their hope in the resurrection of the dead. And they're going to say, well, at least we get to go to heaven when we die. Yes, indeed, we get to go to heaven when we die. You always have that assurance. But the elect, you know, throughout this process, the elect are going to start waking up. Well, the sooner you wake up, the better. You know, show me the gap. Go to my website, look for show me the gap there, and show me the gap. And you'll realize that the whole thing is false. This whole eschatological scheme of left behind in the late great planet Earth is all false. It was all invented by some Jesuit priest 4, 5, whatever, how many hundred years ago, and it's slowly been built, and now it has full sway in all the corporate churches that are an image of the state. Yeah, that's right, they got their image of the state. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for revealing to that to us. We're going to jump back into Ecclesiastes here. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. So that's the comfort we have. And that's how I got into the prophetic and the things that he has revealed to us about the future, is that we have hope through it all. Regardless, it's not vanity. But if all we have, if we don't have the comforter, through our oppression, through the vexation of spirit, if we're not able to rise above it by entering into his kingdom, well, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. There's one alone, he continues here in verse 8. There's one alone, and there's not one, and there is not a second. Yea, he that neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all of his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And you know, the Master, the Messiah, he demonstrated this when he sent out his disciples. He sent them out two by two so that they could hold each other up, and the Spirit working together with them. If one perchance had a weakness, the other would be strong and check his brother. And that's why the Scripture says that we should not forsake the fellowship, the gathering of ourselves together, that there is strength in numbers, and we need to hold each other up. We need fellowship of the brethren. It is so easy to fall by yourself when you're alone. So I grieve to be alone. You know, my wife died 5 years ago. She was a good helpmeet. We could hold each other up. And I have brethren now, you know, that I minister to, and they minister to me, whether they know it or not. And I seek fellowship wherever I can seek it, the gathering of ourselves together, so that we can enjoy that fellowship and hold each other up. And sometimes the Heavenly Father, he puts us in a desert. He allows us that desert so that we can understand these things that we're learning. The same desert that our friend here, Solomon, is writing about in Ecclesiastes that it's not good to be alone. He said it at the beginning. It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet suitable for him. So if one falls, the other lifts him up. But woe to him that is alone when he falls. And I know that woe, because I've been alone and I've fallen. And it is difficult to get up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. So there's the practical thing about having a companion suitable. When two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And right now, I don't have anyone to lie with me, because I am celibate, not by my choice, but the Almighty, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, it says in the Authorized King James Version. And for his purpose, he allowed my wife to be taken away. So will I lie alone and tell you a little secret? I have heat in my bed. Yes, and it's brought there by electricity, and I am thankful for it. It's still not the same thing. Don't get me wrong. It still would be nice to have a helpmeet like my last wife was, and someone that I delight to be with. I have not forgotten what that is like. And anyone who has it should be blessed, and don't take it for granted, because it can be gone just like that. And to stand when it's gone, that you need the strength of the Almighty. And he gives us a comforter. His Holy Spirit is a better comforter than a woman in the flesh. That's right. So, but there is that practicality that he points there to about having heat together. Okay, we'll continue. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So it's good to have people you can stand with, that you can call on, that you know you can rely on, that you have that fellowship in spirit with, that you can call upon and stand with them. And I thank the Almighty for the good brothers and sisters out there that have stood with me in good, despite the oppression of others. And they have their reward, and they will receive their reward, because I hope their reward is beyond any way that I'm able to help them, that they're storing up the same treasure in heaven that I'm storing up. And I send that blessing by my word out upon them now, and I pray it in the name of the Almighty Yahuwah, by the blood of His precious Son. And plus all of those out there that are listening and support this ministry in any way they can, I pray for you all, and I lift you all up in His mighty name. And I say, hallelujah. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org.